The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'd like you, before I ask you questions, recap what you saw, what you did, and what you saw.
So we had a group of 30 uncommitted voters, and I use that phrase rather than undecided, because at this point, most people have an inclination, at least a slight leaning, of who they're going to support. But the uncommitted, which is somewhere between 8 and 10%, have not absolutely made a commitment between one candidate and another, and they're shifting back and forth. So we got 30 of them in the room. First, we showed them the actual language that Donald Trump used and his apology. Then they watched the debate for 90 minutes, and then they responded to a number of questions that we had both from Megyn Kelly last night and Fox and Friends today. And what was interesting to me was how people shifted from the beginning of the conversation, where they were split one-third slightly towards Clinton, one-third slightly towards Trump, and the rest completely undecided. And at the end of the debate, where they really felt that Donald Trump's performance had a bigger impact on their vote than Hillary Clinton's.
Okay, now walk us through the debate. And you were running people meters, and you might tell people about their methodology that you use, Frank.
What's wonderful is that we get to measure second by second how people are responding to a candidate's articulation, and it tells us what works and what doesn't. For example, going back in time, every time that Al Gore signed a side in the 2000 election, the dials would come down because people would hear it and they would resent it. Donald Trump's sniffling in the first debate, you could actually pick it up in the dials that every time he did it, people were annoyed by it. They thought that there was something wrong. And the great thing about the dials is not just the arguments that do really well, and there were a number of them, but it also tells you what voters really hate about the candidates. And it separates. So you have a red line for Republicans, a green line for Democrats, yellow line for undecided, and it's all computerized. So they turn the dial to indicate whether they want to vote for the person or vote against them. All 90 minutes are dialed. And Donald Trump had more good moments than bad. It opened very tough for him. But his response to his locker room talk, and he was apologetic, and he mentioned twice that he apologized, it was okay. When Anderson Cooper went after him about his behavior, it was actually Trump's lowest moment of the debate, because in the end, there are some people who do not believe he's sincere, some people who do not believe that he truly understands how awful his language was. However,
Frank, let me ask you this. There's a four-square box in pretty much everything in life. Clinton and Trump, best moments, worst moments. And so if you draw that four-square box and we put Trump at the top, what were his best and what were his worst moments? What were her best and what were her worst moments, according to your data with this group of 30 voters?
Trump's best moment is when he went after her emails and challenged her, why did you delete all of them? What happened to them? You didn't tell the truth about them. As well as his occasional offhanded comments, such as taking a shot at her, comparing her to Abraham Lincoln. Voters found that funny, ironic, and off the cuff. His worst moment was in his description of his apology when Anderson Cooper challenged him. Hillary Clinton's strongest moment was also at the beginning when she talked about bringing people together, about being the president for everybody. And her worst moment is in her defense of how she behaved with her emails. Voters don't think that she's telling the truth. So the most impactful moments of the debate, for the most part, came in the first 30 minutes.
Now, Frank, I don't know if you can go back and look at your notes, but I have a specific interest in the Supreme Court. I played my first clip today was her two-minute non-responsive answer in which she never mentioned the Constitution, but in fact listed off a series of litmus tests. She will want a justice who will overturn Citizens United, prosecute voting rights cases for Democrats, uphold Roe v. Wade, uphold same-sex marriage. Nothing about the Constitution. I am just genuinely interested. Did that work well for her or hard for her?
I hate to disappoint you, but among independent, undecided voters, it worked well for her because they're looking for Supreme Court justices that basically are economically conservative and don't get involved in the social issues. And so the Constitution is such a high priority for Republicans. Are you a strict constitutionalist? For independents and Democrats, it matters a lot less. They're looking for something more like a living Constitution. So her description of what she would do was more successful with my undecided voters than his description of what he would do.
Now, on Aleppo and Mosul, it was somewhat incoherent for both of them. She was lying, by the way, about the red line. She was the Secretary of State when Barack Obama drew the red line. She was not when he failed to enforce it. First, about Aleppo, what happened in that conversation, which actually appeared to be knowledge-free on both parts?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that was actually a weak moment for Trump. They felt that she had a better grasp of foreign policy, and she spoke more in specifics than he did. They did not necessarily agree with everything that she said, but they felt more comfortable with her and her response. And by the way, Hugh, it was the exact opposite on the economy, where they felt that he was much more specific, that he gave, in some cases, a few numbers, but in every case, that you got a feeling that he was the one who was going to bring about the biggest change. So she won on foreign policy, and he won on economic issues.
There was an extended exchange, riveting but also quite stomach-churning, in which he said, I will appoint a special prosecutor. You will be in jail. It extended for probably 3 minutes. How did that play at home?
Well, here's where I have to figure this out, because every pundit got on last night on all the networks except for Fox and challenged that and said that this sounds like a dictator, this sounds like a banana republic. And yet that was one of the highest moments for our group, and the reason why, he was because they felt that Trump would hold people accountable. The reason why there's so much anger, why 70% of Americans say they're mad as hell, is because they feel that Washington can get away with everything.
Yep.
And nobody is ever held accountable. So when Trump said, I will do that, they loved it. They actually, several members applauded, not because they hate Hillary Clinton, but because finally they hear someone who's willing to say, enough is enough. If you're doing something wrong, you're going to be held responsible for it.
Now, Frank Luntz, I got into an extended back and forth and very passionate on The Late Show. Maybe it's because I'd been up from 6 a.m. to 1 a.m., about Director Comey and the FBI. I failed to even say Director Comey, which I hate to do. I don't like to use last names with people who are in public service. But I said Director Comey has taken the FBI down a path that has compromised its integrity. That case was prosecuted by Donald Trump. How did his prosecution of that case against the FBI handling play?
It played very well. And once again, it played well because that is the attribute, accountability, that Americans want more than anything else in Washington. And every time a candidate is appealing to bringing about accountability, even if it sounds a little harsh or, in Trump's case, a little shrill, they still embraced it because they don't feel it and they don't see it. And they think that all institutions in Washington are horribly broken. And by the way, they feel the same way about Wall Street, but more about Washington. And anyone who's going to put their feet to the fire, they're going to endorse. And this is where the voters and the pundits split. The Washington punditry is of Washington itself, and so it doesn't sense that same kind of anger and frustration. If you're part of a system, you tend not to realize how broken the system is. Whereas the American people, in this case, 1,000 miles from Washington, D.C., not only do they think it's broken, but they're darn determined to change it, which is why Trump did very well in that exchange.
You and I, until very recently, we both lived in Southern California. You still do, and I'm in D.C., but you're there quite a lot. And I tell everyone in D.C., they have no idea what's going on in the country as I travel around. They have no idea how white-hot the anger is at privilege and protection, which Peggy Noonan has articulated. When the audience member asked about Hillary Clinton's tape, in which she said you need a public standard and a private standard, she launched into a rambling, incoherent argument that was not true about talking about Lincoln. What was the dial on that response?
Her response was relatively neutral. Trump's response, condemning her for comparing herself to Abraham Lincoln, Honest Abe, was one of the highlights of the debate. They practically broke their dials. It went straight up. In fact, if I went back at the 90 minutes, it may have been the sharpest climb of anything said by anyone in the 90 minutes. But your point needs to be emphasized again and again. And by the way, I moved out of L.A. So I now live in Las Vegas because I had enough of the taxes, enough of the regulation, enough of the litigation of California, and so have the American people. And Trump's capturing it. In essence, if the media was fair, his shot at Abe would have been as powerful as Lloyd Benson's "You're No Jack Kennedy" against Dan Quayle.
It is the it's the eternal debate loop. I tweeted that out. That will be in every what I call the eternal debate loop, along with you would be in jail. That return volley, you would be in jail. Of course not. You'd be in jail. How did "you will be in jail" play?
It also played well because no one's thought of it as Donald Trump is going to throw her in jail. What they heard was she'd be held accountable for what she did with her emails. And the public has come to believe that that is a serious and, in any other campaign, fatal situation for a candidate. They, by 2.5 to 1 in every single session I have done, have said that her emails are more important to their vote than Donald Trump's tax returns. The problem for Trump is that too often he's tried to defend himself, which can't, it will not work. The public still doesn't like the fact that he hasn't released his taxes and they have discomfort about what he has paid. But they're more concerned about those emails and what they say about national security and the fact that she may have jeopardized in a very bad way American national security.
When he conceded he had not paid income taxes while stating he had paid plenty of federal taxes, I understand that. Did your listeners, did your focus group understand that?
All they understood is that Donald Trump is still hiding something, and they prefer to know. But it's still less important. Everything is about priority. In 90 minutes, they can like and dislike a dozen different things, but there's only two or three that will stand out for them. Her email response stood out against Hillary Clinton. Trump's personal language response, particularly after Anderson Cooper's challenge, stood out to them as a low moment for Trump. As far as taxes, it was not nearly as impactful in this debate as it was in their first debate.
20 seconds, Frank Luntz. How fragile is Donald Trump's recovery against any additional disclosures of inappropriate behavior?
I think any additional disclosures kills him. I walked into that debate assuming that he was done. I walked out being very clear that there is still life left. She is leading, and she's got a clear lead. But you can't close the book on him yet.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.